The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Delighted to have you here. Find your phone Friday. It's 11 minutes after 6. Join in at 770-563-3770-KMED. Rick Manning will be joining me after 6:30, the DC Swamp Update. Swampier than ever. That should be almost be like the trademark. It's getting swampier and swampier than ever. Some of our local headlines here before we get to the calls. I'm happy to take your calls and comment on anything that's going on in your mind. By the way, the number is 770-5633. We had a cougar shot and killed in Ashland yesterday over on Glendale Avenue. Had an aggressive cougar. And we have Ashland police reporting that after talking with the residents there, I guess this cougar attacked a cat, right? And had attacked at least one cat. Cops show up, OSP, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. They end up searching. They caught it, found it at about 2:45, and then lethally removed. And needless to say, they had an elementary school asked to keep everyone inside. And so anyway, they're just putting that out there. So, of course, I don't know. It's such a crazy world right now. We'll probably have someone call the show and say, they shot my therapy animal. I hope not, but still, you never know these days. Have you noticed you get on a plane nowadays and there's all sorts of different animals, a therapy ferret, whatever the case might be. All right. Another interesting story, and is it time maybe? I remember a number of years ago when there was this conversation in Jackson County when we were voting to whether or not have the tax assessor and the surveyor be appointed by the commission rather than voted on by the people. And I was very much against taking away the vote. But I don't know. Between Arrowsmith screwing up in the property tax situation, you know, post Alameda Fire, you know, we know about that, Dave Arrowsmith. And now we have Scott Fine, who I've known to be a pretty decent guy, no problem. I've talked to him a few times over the years, not many times, because, you know, most surveyors aren't making a lot of noise. You know, they don't make a lot of noise. They just kind of show up and do their thing. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe they do just need to be appointed by the county commissioners. I'm starting to wonder about this between Arrowsmith's screw-ups. But, okay, what happened with Scott? This is kind of, well, of course, maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. They were having this salary committee meeting. This is being reported in the Rogue Valley Times. It's a great story, actually. They had a great story. I know, I'm shocked. But Jackson County elected officials salary committee Tuesday recommended a 4.6% cost of living increase. Fine. All right. But what they found out, though, that the meeting kind of got derailed because they found out that the Jackson County surveyor, Scott Fine, has also been Curry County's surveyor since June of 2023. And the office hours are the same. So I guess the claim has been, okay, are you working for Jackson County or are you working for Curry County? And Fine, by the way, has been county since 2012. I don't think anyone's complaining about him. But Danny Jordan, the administrator, ended up presenting to the County Budget Committee, a Curry County webpage printout showing Fine's office hours as identical to his office hours in Jackson County. And a copy of that obtained by Rogue Valley Times because they did a public records request about it. And Jordan says, I believe there could be a conflict in the number of hours worked. So is Scott working 40 hours for the county or not? And is he available during the normal office hours that our county provides services for the public? And Jordan claimed he never really got an answer as to whether Fine was available in Jackson County. What I got here is that the work is getting done. Okay. Now, Fine says he's doing most of Curry County's work, nights and on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and things like that. And he made it clear to Curry County. He says everybody knew about this, and gosh, I didn't know about this. But and maybe other people within the system. But I don't know. Maybe Scott Fine has is going to be like an attorney, right? You know how attorneys can, there may be 168 hours in a week, but somehow good attorneys can find 500 billable hours. You know, they think about you when they're on the toilet, you know, and then they bill you for the full hour. You know, maybe that's the way it is when you're Scott Fine and the county surveyor, right? You know, you just, Well, you know, I'm thinking about a Curry County thing here. We'll bill them for an hour. And a Jackson County situation here, I'll bill Jackson County for an hour. And maybe he can find 500 hours of billable work a week, like a good attorney. I'm only half kidding, but I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe it's about time to go with appointed ones. Am I right or wrong about it? I'd love to get your opinion on that. 770-563-3770-KMED. It does seem weird to have, you know, your surveyor, your elected surveyor, supposed to be working for you, working for another county, too. But maybe that's normal. Maybe more of that goes on than we think. 770-563-3. Let me go to Don. Hello, Don. Good to have you on. What's happening this Friday morning, huh?
So this is good news. Oregon easing drug penalties. I hired a guy. He billed 40 hours in 2 days, and he was not tired. He could just keep going.
Okay, hold on. Now, you're a mechanic, right? I just want to make sure people understand. Yeah. So you hired a mechanic, and he worked 40 hours for you in 2 days.
No, not a mechanic. No. No, I can't do that. No, it was a carpenter.
Oh, a carpenter. was the carpenter like the surveyor, though, in which we can double bill the hours? What?
Yes. I didn't even argue. I just had to let him go. But here's the thing. They're good news topics, and I love cougars. The problem is evidently the cougar had lost its mother. A nursing cougar eats one venison a day in nursing season. So
one deer a day? They'll go with one deer a day? Really?
Yeah, that's what a nurse – see – cougars only eat the organ meats. I don't know if you realize they don't eat the muscle tissue, just heart, liver, brain, things like that.
Oh, and then everything else gets wasted. Got it. Okay.
No, it's not wasted. No, it's all repurposed. Okay.
Okay.
So nothing is wasted out there. So, but I wanted to address cultural appropriation.
Okay.
And I can show you times in history when, under Metternich and Robespierre, it was so popular around the world to have a French-style court. They all learned to speak French, and the Russians tried it, but ended up with a Catherine who could only speak German in Moscow. So Catherine.
Well, I mean, this is all very fascinating, but what cultural appropriation are you speaking of, Don?
Well, yesterday, did you get to see our chief executive described the time when his four uncles saw the attack of D-Day, and they went down and joined the army. Did you see that news release?
Well, I did hear about him being eaten, that his uncle was eaten by cannibals, I believe, is what he claimed.
He joined because of D-Day.
So
actually, people joined the military in hordes because of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Joining the military because of D-Day. No, you were already drafted if you were capable of being in the military at that point. Were you not? Really?
That said, it's unfair to describe the folks down in New Guinea, which is 600 languages, 800 islands in their archipelago, as all cannibals. There are some ritualistic cannibals in Borneo that eat family members upon death. They keep their state parts, but it's inappropriate. Furthermore, the only real cannibalism going on in the Pacific at that time was American POWs being consumed by the Japanese military. And this was commonplace. We don't know the numbers. But yes, because they were a superior race and were thus entitled.
And
that's cultural appropriation, though, to suggest the those down in the Borneo and et al. We're
all cannibals. It's just wrong, right? A smear.
Is
that really cultural appropriation, or is it more of a cultural smear?
It's a schmear.
Schmear. Yeah, like a schmear of like a schmear of cream cheese onto the bagel. Okay.
And it's also disregarding the sacrifice of D-Day to suggest that it was on. You know, you didn't see it right. We didn't have news like we have today.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, it just gets to the point where you stop even. You don't even want to read those stories, Don, because you just realize that that essentially he's not running the show. He's not been running the show for quite some time. Who is running him is what I'd really like to know.
The right question. There. It's not Kamala, okay? And I I'm intrigued. I only sort of want to know because I'll be so darn disappointed if I find out. So I want to wish you a memorable weekend.
I wish you a memorable weekend, too. And by the way, no eating of relatives, okay? I don't care.
Thank you. Thank
All right. Yeah, we don't do that here, Don. 21 after 6. He has, Biden's uncle is one of them eaten by cannibals. I know. I don't know what the handlers are paid in the Biden administration, you know, the people who are paid to do that kind of work and try to clean up after him. But whatever it is, it's not enough.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is growing. Drake's is excited to announce a new store opening soon in South Medford that will offer the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer in North Medford, Grants Pass, and soon to be open in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa, enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Maher and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking her to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can.
623, Dickie Betts. Yep, he's the man who wrote that song, Ramblin' Man, Dickie Betts. Allman Brothers Band. He ended up passing away yesterday, age of 80. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, founding member of the Allman Brothers Band. See the last one? Last one left? I think he was. But he died yesterday morning. It was cancer and COPD. That's what he ended up having. But he ended up really putting the Allman Brothers on the map with that song. I mean, that song just really kicked it in. It was a huge hit. Top 40 radio back when I was a kid. Remember that? And he also wrote classics like Jessica. He wrote Jessica, Blue Sky, and that instrumental one in memory of Elizabeth Reed. Great deal. And he also released several solo albums and involved in the Allman Brothers Band reunion in 1989. And so anyway, just a great body of work. Great body of work. And if I recall correctly, I remember reading a story about Ramblin' Man where he just kind of woke up and one morning and he wrote the song, and I think it was like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, just kind of had the the riff in his head. It's fascinating how some songs just get written that way. Some people will just work and work and work and work and work on days in a for a song, and then other people, boy, just comes out there. I know that Chicago song 25 or 6 to 4, which of course was written about 25 or 6 to 4, waking up early in the morning. You know, that was another one of those kind of songs, just kind of happened, right? But very interesting. But rest in peace, Dickie. Great body of work. Great body of work, no doubt. All right. We've already talked about some of the local news here. We had the cougar shot. We have the, you know, this is one, just roll this around your head. Should the Jackson County surveyor also be getting paid by Curry County to do the same work. As an elected official, all you could really do is recall someone, I suppose. That's pretty high bar. I'm not advocating that necessarily. But I'm starting to wonder that when you have your county surveyor moonlighting in Curry County, and he says, well, I do that kind of work on the weekend, is that something that our elected officials should be doing? I know that Scott Fine says that, well, I told my employer about that. I mean, you know, what do you think my employer would do if all of a sudden I said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm working weekends on for Cajo in Grants Pass. Hope you don't mind. And, you know, it's okay. As long as I tell you about it, it's all right, right? You wouldn't mind that? No, okay. Okay. I don't know. Maybe we need to start appointing these people rather than electing them, because we seem to have interesting things going on with some of our elected officers. I know we could talk about that if you want. Love to take your take on it. 770-5633. Now, if you wanted to find out what's going on with the state Senate candidates, they're going to be showing up tonight. Jackson County Republican Party doing a town hall event this evening. This is going to be at the Criterion. Town hall, by the way, is running from 6 till 8 this evening. And this is going to be kind of at a meet and greet sort of table. And apparently, Jackson County Republican Party also going to be talking a bit about 15-224, 15-225, 15-226. And if you have half a brain, you are going to vote no on all three of these. And if you have a whole brain, you'll vote twice against it. Okay? No, we don't want to advocate that. That's the way Democrats will work. We need to get more ballots. We need to get more ballots. Yeah, that's how they would tend to approach this. But no, we follow the rules. All right? But anyway, tonight, you get a chance to talk to Christine Goodwin and Noah Robinson. This is going to be State Senate District number 2. That's that race that has been quite contentious. And if you had questions of Christine Goodwin or Noah Robinson, tonight's the time that you can do that. You can ask them all about that. Now, I haven't had Dave Hensley reach out to me, but he's the one that is competing with Diane Linthicum. Now, I have talked with Diane Linthicum. Diane Linthicum and Dave Hensley, Senate District 28, they're going to be doing all that. So anyway, that is tonight. So no excuse if you need to find out who you're going to vote for, go ahead and talk to him. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Hello. Hi there. Who's this? Morning.
This is Brad.
Hey, Brad. What's going on with you, buddy?
Hey, man. I got a question because you keep your ear on everything.
Oh, I don't know if I keep my ear on everything. I as much as I can fill in my ear. It just depends.
Okay? Yeah, ain't it the truth, but you're Slovene, so you're special.
Right. Special ed sometimes it feels like.
I hear you. I was there. I heard in a meeting, and you can confirm this, did you hear Pacific Power is going to do another rate increase?
Oh, yeah.
That makes two or three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The goal is if the Public Utilities Commission ends up going through with this, essentially, your electricity rate next year would be 50% greater than last year. So it doesn't matter how much you try to not use. Pacific Power needs to screw you more. Okay.
You know, everybody thought we were crazy when we were fighting those new meter things on our homes with the electric meter thing.
Yeah, the smart meter agenda.
Yeah. Because they could mess with it. Oh, that will never happen.
Well, the thing, you know, but look what's going on right now. We were warning you right now. The only reason you put smart meters on a house, in fact, now I'm going to defend Pacific Power right now. Okay, so I want you to be, you know, to understand me where I'm coming from. Pacific Power did not want to do smart meters. Did you know that?
You know, I remember because it was pretty expensive, if I remember right.
Well, this was what Pacific Power said to the Public Utilities Commission when they were pushing the smart meter agenda, because it was all coming down from the PUC, Public Utility Commission of Oregon. And for years, Pacific Power said there is no advantage for our customers. There is nothing to be gained from our customers by installing smart meters. But this is what, but the whole point, though, is that the Public Utility Commission and the state of Oregon is all about getting you used to scarcity. Because look at what they're doing. They're getting rid of coal-fired plants. They're going to blow out dams. They want to, you know, they want to de-dam every place, you know, in here. And they want to put you on chaotic and intermittent solar and wind, right? And so the only way that you can help people make some sense of it is that you give them a smart meter and then you say, okay, when we have lots of power, it's a little cheaper. And then when we don't have power, when you really need it, like, you know, dinner time, when you want to cook dinner, then we're going to triple and quadruple your power rate. So this will be a little nudge for you to use less carbon. See what I'm getting at here, Brad? That's how the scam works.
You're trying to scare the crap out of me. Shoot, dude, it's not even 7 o'clock.
I know. No, but this is nothing. They've been hiding it out in plain sight. This is the reason why there was a reason to fight the smart meter situation. And right now, the time of use, by the way, they're rolling out the time of use in Pacific Power. And they're rolling out time of use because there's not going to be enough juice to gas up every Tesla in Ashland.
Oh, no.
You know, that sort of thing. So they have to be able to screw regular folks so that, you know, Teslas can get charged, I guess, overnight for a more reasonable cost. And then they'll use your Tesla, by the way, as battery storage when the juice goes down, when there's not enough juice in the grid, and then they'll suck some juice out of your Tesla to help keep the grid stable. You know, it's a really interesting plan what they have going on. It's like dealing with scarcity is what they're doing, what they're trying to do.
You know, we're so fortunate, you and I, being Slovenian. At least we have our heads screwed on.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you for the call. All right, let me go to line two. Hello, line two. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Ron Grants Pass.
Yeah, Ron, go ahead.
I want to talk on the lobby issue in the legislature.
Yeah.
First off, I think that the legislature should do as they've done in the history of the past of America, where they have to state a problem that they think should be addressed. Then they should have to come up with the intent of their statement as to the boundaries that it should cover.
And you know something else? I agree with you, and they should also be forced at the barrel of a gun to be honest. But guess what? That's not what happens, Ron.
Well, when I get done here, I'm going to address that, but it won't take too long. But anyway,
no, I don't have the time. You know, so you need to give me a pithy point on this one. Okay.
Okay. The pithy point is the legislators need to do their own work, put the meat on the skeleton, and study the problem and present it as one idea to be voted on by the rest of them, and that goes away if it gets voted down. They start over on something else.
All right. Good. And if you can make him do that, you're a better man than me. Appreciate the call. Let me go to line one. Hi there, KMED, KCMD. Morning.
Hi, Bill. This is Tom. I wanted to say there's something a lot more than just time of use, what they have in mind in terms of upping the bill.
Oh, on Pacific Power, what's the other part of it?
The other part is time of availability. If they're having trouble getting power, so let's say it's from wind, the wind and solar's down here while they're starting to import it from, say, Montana, that it costs more. So what they intend to do is that, if all the grid is real low here in Oregon, we're going to have to pay more. So the customers are going to have to be paying more, and it's a floating variability. You don't know when you turn on your light switch if it's costing more or less depending upon availability.
And you know, I did not, I was not aware of the time of availability. That is something I was not aware of. Where did you read that? Just curious. You know?
Just yesterday, in the I was startled by reading it. Maybe it was Global Research. I'm not sure, but it was startling to realize that they intend to have this floating electrical fee that you do not know when you turn on the light switch whether it's going to be a low charge or a high charge.
Yeah. You see, and boy, I'll tell you that is. And once again, this is about. This is an anti-human. We're not going to work on actually having lots of generating capability. We're going to have thin generation, and then we're going to – well, of course, it's an anti-human, and people will die with something like that.
Absolutely.
And of course, I'm sure that we won't be hearing any talk about, poor people and people of color most likely affected. Yeah. Uh-huh. So if you could find that story – and send it to me. I'd really like to read that. I want to get as educated on this as possible. Okay, time of availability. That's a different, interesting wrinkle, okay? Thanks for that. And let me break for news. Rick's going to join me here in a couple of minutes, and then we'll get more of your calls, too. By the way, Captain Bill Simpson will be joining the program after 8 o'clock. I wanted to catch up with him on this story that I was watching on NBC 5 earlier this week. And what had happened is they were putting baby fish or salmon into the river. And a fish biologist was saying that the health of the Klamath River has never been better. And that just didn't make sense to me, given everything that had been going on. And we'll talk with Bill. I think he may have a different take on that. We'll find out.
Oregon Trunk and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Trunk and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Trunk and Auto Authority, your department of adventure.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus, specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or CavemanHeating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Thundering explosions were heard early today in the vicinity of a major air base and a nuclear facility in Iran. Apparently the result of Israeli retaliation for last weekend's Iranian drone and missile strikes on Israel. At the request of Columbia University's president, the NYPD moved in to clear pro-Palestinian protesters from campus yesterday afternoon. More than 100 people arrested at the so-called Gaza Solidarity encampment. A dozen jurors have been seated to hear former President Trump's criminal trial in New York. Five more alternate jurors must be chosen before opening arguments, and those opening arguments could come early next week. Millions of Indians voting in a six-week election. It's a referendum on Hindu nationalist Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The opening bell sounding on Wall Street now. More details, srnnews.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters April 26th. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
The Row Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op, and if you want to go organic, hey, that's great. However,
see, organic fertilizers are not ready to use by the plant. They have to be worked on by soil bacteria to break them down into a usable form. It has to be in contact with the soil, and better if it's a couple, you know, an inch or two down.
Call the Row Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon and catch the Sunday morning encore at 9 on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Are you retired or retiring soon? Do you know how much money you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. These may feel like scary times. Several economists are saying that a recession is imminent. So what do you do? Ancient wisdom says plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have an actionable plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan is executed to take advantage of market gains, but protect you from market losses. We would like to give you a free, no-obligation consultation to help you do all three. We will help you discover your magic number and give you the roadmap to get there. Call now to schedule your free consultation. 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108. 800-508-6108. Don't wait. Call 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
641. We replace our normal DC Swamp Update song with Good Thing by the Fine Young Cannibals. This is in honor of the resident of the White House talking about his uncles, of course, being eaten by cannibals in World War II, you know, back at the time. It's an interesting time, Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. And, you know, I don't know. It's people talk about the decay of the great American empire. And if there was ever a stuffed mummy to put up before the world to say that you really don't know what the hell you're doing, it would be Joe Biden, right? I mean, it really is sort of symbolic of America, unfortunately, at this point in time.
Well, you take the event yesterday where he went to a Wawa, which is like a 7-Eleven kind of store. It's on the East Coast, and he goes into a Wawa, and they've got it on camera. The staff pre-arranging all the payments and everything. He can't figure out how to shut the box with donuts in it, I guess. And then he wanders over and says, I want to get a milkshake. And he wanders over, and none of them could figure out how to order a milkshake. And then...
Oh, is it one of those like little milkshake machines you'll see in the convenience stores, right?
The camera angle I saw wasn't clear. All I know is the President of the United States wanted a milkshake, and he didn't walk out of there with a milkshake.
Oh.
It's kind of hard to believe. The Walla people were basically... There wasn't a lot of other customers to deal with, let's put it that way. And the only reason, just to understand the politics, Donald Trump, when he was in Atlanta, went to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And had a whole bunch of people who didn't look like Donald Trump gathering around him and talking to him and wanting to, and that was a setup event too. Okay, let's be clear. That wasn't just a random stop. And
yeah, but it was a well-done setup event, right?
And it was a well-done setup event.
That's what we're getting at, right? Yeah.
And you have Biden in a, President of the United States wandering around a Wawa, not able to close a box or order a milkshake. So you sit there and the whole reason they did it was because Trump had the event.
Right.
And Biden needed to go to a place like that to show he was a man of the people. It's really heartbreaking when you get right down to it.
I know. There is that whiff, that smell of desperation coming out of it, especially when you had the Kennedy clan coming out there and going against RFK Jr. Okay. Now, I'm not a fan of RFK. All right. I'll tell you that right off the bat. But boy, you want to talk about the desperation to get the Kennedy clan just completely trying to destroy one of their own. That it kind of tells you everything. There's a lot of concern out there, isn't there?
Well, I think the Thanksgiving dinner has been ruined. We knew that the Kennedy grandkids were, they're just establishment, kind of foofs who've lived a very spoiled, rich life. And, and Robert Kennedy Jr. didn't lose them on any of the liberal stuff he's on. He's lost them on vaccines. And, they had to toe the line on vaccines, and he didn't toe the line on vaccines. And as a result, he's kind of a pariah in his own family now. But it just goes to show there's a lot of things I don't agree with Robert Kennedy Jr. on. Robert Kennedy Jr. and all the talk about free speech and the like. In 2014, he wrote an article where he advocated that CEOs of oil companies be thrown into jail, and that the state use their coercive power for censorship to go after the AGs using antitrust and the like. To make it so they are held accountable for the environmental impact they had. So this guy's not a limited government guy by any stretch.
Oh, no. And I would remind, I know that there were Republicans that I knew that had danced with voting for him over the vaccine and medical freedom issue, which is laudable. But, you know, it's kind of like Bill Maher. Bill Maher will actually say some things occasionally that makes sense. And I can go, all right, I can agree with him on it, but I don't consider him Bill Maher an ally. And I look at Robert RFK as the same, you know, the same sort of thing.
Well, like
there's
one of the,
certain
one
things,
of the,
right?
The way to think about this is, at least the way I think about it, there are people who are just hard liberals, okay? But they maintain a memory that there's this thing called the First Amendment, and it's really good for us to have discussion and the like.
And you normally find this only in old liberals. Young liberals, you do not find this right now. That's been beaten out of them in their woke studies, I think.
So, you know, the people who used to say, you know, I don't agree with what you're saying, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. Those people are a minority. And so when one of those people come out and they say something that you say, wow, that's refreshing.
Yeah.
You go, you know, you kind of become enamored with them, but just remember, they're the ones who stay constant in their position on the First Amendment. It's the rest of the left that's moved completely off the docket and into a full-scale totalitarian kind of a point of view where no opposing opinion shall be tolerated. All in the guise under the guise of tolerance, of course. You have Biden wandering around. most people are, when you think about Washington, D.C. right now, you think of the dysfunction and largely in the House of Representatives. And, you know, fact of the matter is, it is dysfunctional.
Yeah, well, it is dysfunctional because of the math. And I know many of my listeners will write me, and they're very frustrated with Congress, with our congressmen, et cetera, about how things don't get done. And I try to explain the math problem that goes on there. And a lot of folks, I try to put it into this perspective. Around the Thanksgiving table, we can have 10 members of our family. We can't all agree on everything. We just don't, right? You know, there's all sorts of disagreement. And yet we expect this. Now, how many do you need? You need 218 to do anything in Congress,
Right. If you have a full contingent, if you have all the seats filled, that you have 435 House members, a majority is 218. The only rule that exists in the House, the only real rule that exists in the House, is if you control 218 votes, a majority vote of the House, and then you basically control everything. The challenge that's happening right now is the Speaker doesn't control 218 votes. And the majority's been narrowed because of people leaving Congress. So
why are so many Republicans leaving right now? What do you think about that? Is there a theme that's kind of building out of this? I'm surprised to see how many people are taking off. Is it the rats sinking, you know, deserting the sinking ship, or something else going on, you think?
This hasn't been a fun 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just be real. This has been not that it's been frustrating. It's been hard. If it's at some level, if you're accomplished and you're able to have other options, if what you're doing seems like it's pointless and nothing ever gets done and you can't move anything, and you sit there and you look around and say, well, is this the best use of my time and best use of my life?
And so this may be why many of these Congress people are leaving, because they're frustrated by not being able to do anything right?
I think that's true. And, you know, one of the things it's also, there's some theory that, and I partially agree with this, there's some theory that some of them are deliberately leaving to undermine Mike Johnson because they're spiteful about Kevin McCarthy being blown up. And so they want to ensure that Johnson isn't able to create a governing coalition on the Republican side. And they've made a speaker who's brand new and has only been in Congress since 2017. They've made his job almost impossible. And that's because a speaker is speaker if he can control the majority. Mm-hmm. And the way you control the majority, this is getting a little bit into the weeds, but you're going to hear.
No, people need to hear this weed talk here. They really do. Okay, Rick. So please explain this.
You have to. There's something called the way you control the House floor is through the rules that the House passes. And for every piece of legislation, the Rules Committee has to pass a rule related to that legislation. And what that rule says is this is how it allocates time for debate, so you don't have filibusters in the House. Time is allocated. The House is a controlled entity, controlled by the Speaker. So the Speaker generally says, okay, I want to have this bill come up, and I want it to be voted on this way, and they determine what amendments can be offered. They determine if multiple amendments that are contradictory get a majority vote, which one prevails. So they come up with, they figure out all those different things, right? And so you then go to the floor and you decide, am I going to vote for the rule? It used to be unprecedented for Republicans or House Senate Democrats to vote down a rule. That is the ultimate rebellion beyond the motion to vacate. But Republicans have found that that's really the only conservative Republicans have found that's really the only threats they have to try to be able to make certain that their amendments they want get put through in rules.
So they'll threaten to vote down some rules then. So the Matt Gaetzes and the Marjorie Taylor Greens, right? You know, those are the type.
Right.
They will use this. This is the one tool that they have to try to affect some change. Is that?
And the minority, correct. Mm-hmm. And the minority never votes for the rule, okay? Because the minority always gets, you know, they get some votes, but, you know, let's be honest. If you're running the House, you're not going to sit there and make, if there's a vote that your members don't want to take because it might be politically difficult in their district, your job as Speaker is to protect them from that vote, okay? So you're not going to let the Democrats or the minority put up votes that are essentially designed for politically embarrassing certain members of Congress who are in a tough district. So they don't typically get many votes. They don't get many amendments unless there's bipartisanship on the amendment. And so the minority never votes for the rule. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's now a rule that's trying to determine how to deal with Israel aid. There's like four different bills that are going to be incorporated into this rule. Israel aid, Ukraine aid, Taiwan aid, and then a fourth element of it that's a little bit unclear and it'll be seen. So what they're doing is they're going to have that under all those under one rule. And so while the votes will be individual on the bills, the rule will then package the ones that pass, will package the bills and send them over to the Senate. So, and the thinking was and is that Ukraine, the Israel aid has the votes.
Right.
Ukraine aid
doesn't have the votes
amongst House Republicans, but in the House as a whole, it has the votes. So Democrats will vote for the Ukraine aid. The Taiwan aid will have the votes. And the third package or the fourth package is, which is really pretty opaque. I don't know what's in it. The assumption is that there's some sweeteners there that provide the Democrats some things they want in order to vote for the Ukraine aid and vote for the rule as a whole.
This is the reality of what it takes in this divided Congress right now to move any of that, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it's unconscionable after the Iranian attack on Israel not to pass Israel aid. You just can't. The problem is Republicans have passed standalone Israel aid twice through the House. And one time with a pay for, they took some money out of IRS. And the other time is a standalone with not being paid for. the Senate has refused to deal with either of those attempts, because the Senate is saying, unless we get Ukraine aid, and Biden is saying, unless I get Ukraine aid, you don't get any aid. Nobody.
So, is Schumer really big on Ukraine? Is that something that that Schumer,
the
Senator?
The Democrats have become the Ukrainian nationalist party. I don't understand it. I truly do not understand it.
Well, I think I do a little bit, and I'm no expert on this, but I'm starting to think that maybe there's just so much corruption in Ukraine that you have to keep it going. You got to keep the plate spinning there, because there may be more people with their fingers in that pie than we think, more than just Hunter Biden, that kind of thing.
Well, I think that's a reasonable assumption.
Okay.
And this goes back to when Trump was president. There's something about Ukraine that has the Democrats locked in, and
it's got them by the short hairs, you know. It really does.
And I swear.
And
yeah, if I were very cynical, I would say that what you said related to potential corruption and ties that they don't want to have come out. Certainly Joe Biden, who took over Ukraine foreign policy under Obama, the last 6 years of the Obama administration, and went to Ukraine the week before Obama left presidency. So mid-January, he went to Ukraine to wrap things up. You got to wonder, you know, it's obviously a lot of stuff there that need to be wrapped up. So that's ultimately, the Democrats care a lot about Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, if Ukraine aid came up as a standalone, it'd probably get over 300 votes, because the defense hawks and the Republican side and the intel hawks are very pro Ukraine aid, and there's a reason for that, and it's a reasonable reason. Our munitions levels and stockpiles have been diminished because of supplying Ukraine, and as a result, they haven't been replenished, even with all the defense budget we have, they're not being replenished. And so this Ukraine aid, part of it goes to replenish our munitions stocks. And why that wasn't part of the defense appropriations bill?
Well, that's a good question.
It's because they wanted to get other stuff into Ukraine. And the way you do it is you package it with something that needs to be done. So if you don't vote for it, well, you don't want to restock American munitions. And as a result, you're making us in danger of China. And so that's how things get done.
All right. Essentially, what you're describing here, Rick, is that if you want this, I'm going to get that. We're going to have more of this and more of that, right?
And so if you want something to get done, for instance, if you want border security, the cost is a massive cost. The complaint that many of the Republicans have, and I share this concern. The speaker has been saying all along that he's tying the supplemental for, we're going to protect Ukraine's border, we got to protect our own. So he's tied that supplemental to border security.
But Joe Biden Joe Biden will not implement that, though, right?
The Democrats have said no way.
Right.
And so now he's basically going to pass another border security bill. But it's not going to be tied into the overall package. That's the foreign emergency aid package that's been emergency for 9 months now. But it isn't put into that supplemental. And as a result, the Republicans will vote for the border thing. It'll never come up in the Senate, or the Democrats will vote it down in the Senate. And although it'll probably be brought up so the vulnerable Democrat senators can vote for it, but it won't get 60 votes, so it won't be able to pass in the Senate. And Ukraine will get funded. Now, so Mike Johnson has a very weak hand because he doesn't have the votes on most of this stuff. And so what he's trying to do is by constructing the Ukraine aid package and the Israel aid package, he's trying, and the Taiwan aid package for that matter, he's trying to make it as to get as much of the garbage out of it as he can. But to do that, he has to pass a package. And then he has to deal with the Senate, who then has to pass a package. So it is, so you might only get a 5% change in by Johnson doing it this way, 5% change for the better on what they're passing. But, and he's saying, well, if you're going to take me out as Speaker, I'm going to make certain that this bill is as good as it can be, given the fact that I've got a one vote majority in the House.
Right.
And he's doing that. So he's got a hard job. And
I would not want to be him for sure. You know,
in retrospect, he might have said, if nominated, I will not serve.
Yeah. I know. Hey, you know, Rick, before we take off, Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government, I really appreciate you kind of, trying to explain the difficulties of this. And it's not just as hot and cut and dried as we folks would like to think it is. And we're not trying to excuse bad things to get done. OK, we're not trying to do that. But there are just certain realities with such a tiny, essentially non-existent majority. It's a mathematics problem. The other aspect.
I was talking to somebody yesterday about this problem. We were at a press conference together.
Yeah.
And somebody who's pretty prominent. And she said, you know, I was talking to members of Congress about this yesterday. And I told them, it's your fault. You know, what do you mean it's our fault? Well, if you'd done better in the 2022 elections and worked harder and put resources where they needed to be put, we would have won a bigger majority, and then we'd be able to do some of this stuff. But when you don't win a big majority, you can't get big things done.
Mm-hmm. Which means that they're
exactly right.
Yeah, which means that there's nothing that's really good. Nothing big will get done this year. We have to be aware of that. Which leads me to what I know you have been working on behind the scenes, because you know that 2024 is more or less a lost cause, right? It's ultimately where we are right now.
2024 is. We're not going to get big things done. Our country's in trouble. We need to do big things. So what do you do under those circumstances? You say, how do we get big things done in 2025? That's what you do. And you try to set the stage. You know, the important piece that people miss is we control the committees, which means we can bring up whatever bills we want to. We can have hearings on whatever we want to. We can drive that narrative, and we can effectively set up the 2025 Trump agenda and the bills already vetted through at least committee, with taking all the shots they're going to take, get the garbage out of the bills, make sure they're passable and they're actually usable and not just fever dreams, and get them in place. So when Donald Trump is elected president, which I think he will be, and you have a bigger majority in the House, because when Donald Trump's elected president, a bunch of people who vote for Donald Trump can vote for House members regardless, because they're Republicans and not for any other reason. So you're going to end up with a bigger majority in the House. You're going to end up with a majority in the Senate, at which point you can pass stuff. You can push your agenda, and no, they won't have 60 in the Senate. But there's things that can be done to actually pass the Trump agenda, but you have to be able to get the House to focus on it now, because the committees can lay the groundwork, write the bills, get the agreements together, so you have a bill that's been properly vetted, that's ready to go on January 3, 2025, and January 20, when president comes in, January 20. That's what you have to focus on. That's where we can win. That's where we can get big things done.
This kind of stuff is not sexy, right? This is the sort of stuff that doesn't, get you on Fox News. Would that be fair to say?
Well, yes, you're right. It is not sexy, and I'm spending a lot of focus on sort of drain the swamp legislation, but it's all arcane stuff. Okay. So it's not like, you can say drain the swamp, people, applaud and stuff. I do a cartoon and great, but most people don't care about personnel, civil service personnel policy. So it's not sexy, but it's what you have to do. It's called the blocking and tackling of getting things done. And once you get the blocking and tackling done, somebody in Congress is going to get full credit for getting this done. And, I won't be at the bill signing ceremony, but it'll be the year that I spent getting this done and laying the groundwork, committees and different people to put it together that will end up happening, will cause it to occur.
Yeah.
And President Trump will sign it, and it'll be, and everybody will be, yay, he's draining the swamp. And I don't care if Americans for Limited Government is credit. I want to do my job, which is try to protect America from the evil that's taken over in terms of the bureaucracy, the weaponized bureaucracy. And if we don't do that, we've lost the country. So
yeah, it doesn't matter if you just install President Trump, but you don't have anything there really ready to truly attack that bureaucracy, then it's all for naught, because he'll just spend another 4 years fighting the bureaucracy like he did.
Or if it's something, or if it's something in an executive order, you have to do get a law passed.
Yeah, yeah. You see, executive orders, once again, like we saw with Biden, he just repeals everything Trump did. Yeah, you got to get legislation through. You do.
Yep.
All right.
That's what a lot of us are working on. And so don't despair, people out there, don't despair. There is a plan that's being worked. You're just not going to see it on Fox News. It's a plan that's, but we have to keep Republican majority. And that means no matter how much I sympathize with Marjorie Taylor Greene and what she's doing, because I understand her frustration, she needs to just stop. Okay? She needs to just stop. If Hakeem Jeffries becomes speaker, which is at least 50% likely if she vacates the chair, if that occurs, every opportunity to prepare for 2025 is done. The Biden investigation to continue, she better not succeed. So that's it, because if she succeeds, even if Johnson runs and wins with Democrat votes, they're going to say the Biden investigation's done.
That's right.
And that'll be gone.
That'll be part of the deal. Yeah.
That's part of the deal. And so this is not, we're not playing. This isn't school, this isn't a high school,
It's not student council. Okay. That's just
what
it.
Are we doing here? Right. I sound like a swamp guy. I sound like a swamp guy, but I'm not. I just want to be able to lay the groundwork so we can do big things in 2025. And my friends are getting in the way.
Yeah.
And that just frustrates me. And I tell them this directly. So.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. And a lot of that, in fact, you've written about a lot of this over there, too.
Yes, I have.
And
yes, I have.
And please do. And please continue to, because this is hard work. It's not sexy. It doesn't get you onto all the television shows because it's like you said, it's arcane. It's about really moving the football, the legislative football, rather than grabbing headlines. And I appreciate the work there. And that's why I wanted people to hear. You said, well, we're getting in the weeds. No, they need to hear this part about it so that they understand it a little better. And I still don't really understand it greatly, but I understand it better than I did before. Okay, Rick? Thanks, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.